Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And it must be the start of Legends Week because one of my favorite people from the Carol Burnett Show, Vicki Lawrence, is here. Vicki, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You are great. And, you know, you've been great for so long. I did not know until I was getting ready for the interview how you and Carol met. And that's such a fascinating story. And I know you're sick of telling it. So can you tell it one more time?
I will tell. You know, the further away I get from this story, the more fantastical it seems.
Yeah.
You know, because wouldn't happen to anybody. Anyway, I was a senior in high school, and everybody told me that I looked like Carol Burnett. I entered a little contest. The fireman's ball was coming up, and so the guys decided to have a contest so they could get some girls there to sing and dance. And about 2 weeks prior to the contest, our local newspaper gal did a feature about the contest that was coming up. She ran a picture of all eight of us girls. And in the article, she mentioned that I bore a striking resemblance to a young Carol Burnett. And my mom said, why don't you write Carol a fan letter? Because everybody told me I looked like Carol Burnett. So I wrote her and said I would love to meet her. I didn't really ask for much of anything, just that I was a fan, loved to meet her. Everybody says I look like you. She took my dad's name out of this newspaper article and looked us up in the phone book and called me after school and said, I want to come and see this contest. She said, I'm very pregnant, so what I really want to do is sneak in and sneak out, and then I'll call you in a couple weeks, and we'll have lunch and discuss your career.
Well, now, wait a second. So at this point, what are you thinking? Because, you know, in this day and age, that could never happen. You know, you couldn't, your letter would be read by somebody who's, you know, who's going to throw it away. I mean, what are you thinking at this point?
That she's nuts. That she ain't playing with a full deck, if you know what I mean.
Mama. But you got to, you know, but you've got to be like incredulous at the idea of Carol Burnett coming to this show.
I think the whole thing was just surreal. I mean, I was 17 years old,
wow,
and I was just too stupid to put it all together, I think.
So she comes to the show, and that's that.
And she gets outed by the guy that's the MC.
Of course.
He says, we have a special guest in our audience. Will she come up and crown the winner? After she said to me, I'm just going to sneak in and sneak out.
Right.
I'm like, great. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Did you win the contest?
Of course.
Of course you did, yes.
Of course I won, and Carol crowned me with my gold fire helmet, and we took some pictures with the mayor, and she said, I will call you, sweetie, and she left. And she was very pregnant, and I didn't think too much about it until after. This was November of my senior year, so we go through the whole holiday season. January comes. I come home from school one afternoon. My mom said they announced on the radio that Carol had the baby. And she's at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica. So I was on my way to a recording session with the Young Americans. When I was young. And and I said to the guy that I was ride-sharing with, I want to just stop by and say hi to Carol. He said, you can't get in to see her. And I said, well, I know her married name now, so I'm going to try. So I get some flowers, off I go to the maternity ward on the third floor. I step out, there are two nurses behind the nurse's station. There's absolutely nothing going on. And as politely as I could, I said, I'm here to see Mrs. Hamilton. And they said, oh my God, you must be her sister Chrissy. Wait till you see her. Wait till you see the baby. And they took me right into her room.
That is fantastic.
They took me right in.
How much?
You know, nowadays I would be arrested
sure.
for being a stalker.
Right.
None of this would happen nowadays.
How much moxie did you have, though, Vicki? I mean, come on. I'm going to stop by the hospital and see my friend Carol.
I know. Was it moxie or just stupidity?
Well,
I don't know.
I think you need a little bit of all of that to end up where you did. And, of course, you did so many years with Carol on her show. And I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. that, you know, the stuff that you guys did on that show is just so timeless. And I would encourage everybody, I mean, go to YouTube, just look up Tim Conway Elephant. Look up Tim Conway Elephant. I mean, any part of that, and then you're sucked in for 5 or 6 hours. I mean, just that stuff just seemed, and I think, obviously, part of or a lot of it came from the chemistry that you guys had as a cast, but then also just the fun that you had doing it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the elephant story is some of my best work, very frankly.
Yeah. You had so much work. You and Mama's Family.
We used to do two shows when we did the Burnett Show. We would do an afternoon show and an evening show, and then they would edit between the best of those. And we would do them like a bat out of hell, really like a live show. And you'd have like an hour break in the middle while they changed the audience out, and there'd be a production meeting, and then the director would come to your room and give you notes. And you'd get, you know, during that hour, you get your makeup, you get a snack if you need it. And the director comes by and tells you, oh, we're changing the running order. This song is going to go here and this sketch is going to go here. Or we changed your mark in the finale. You might want to go out and check that before the show. You know, could be anything, the notes. That night, I got one note. And the director said, I have only one note for you tonight. The elephant story will be different, and good luck. And that was it. That was all I got.
So are you panic-stricken at this point?
By now, I'm married to my husband, Al, who was the makeup man on the show.
Right.
So he's in my dressing room. I turned around. I go, how does he get away with this? And Al looked at me. He said, get him. And I don't know if Al is the one who unleashed the monster in me. Or, I don't know. It might have been Al's fault.
That's good. Oh, that's so.
I ever got him.
And you did, too. Well, this special is coming up. Carol Burnett, 90 Years of Laughter Love. This is going to be on Wednesday, April 26th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Streaming is the next day on Peacock, and I would imagine for a while longer. But now this is...
I can't believe she's 90, by the way.
Oh, I can't believe it either. I just saw a picture of her, and she looks fantastic. I mean, she's been...
And she's so snappy. I'm going to go have dinner with her in a couple of weeks. I'm so excited. She's just... Guys, she's... Like she says, I've still got all my parts.
Hey, I want to talk to you a little bit, though, Vicki. We're talking to Vicki Lawrence here in the National Defense. Our audience is mainly active duty military veterans and their families. And you went to Vietnam and performed, right?
Well... Probably before any of them were born, don't you think?
Yeah, but listen, they pass it down from generation to generation.
Lots of years ago, I went in 1969, I think. 68. Right,
wow.
After the Tet Offensive.
Yeah.
We were there for 21 days. And we didn't, unlike Bob Hope used to go in and do big shows, you know, and then fly out and stay in Bangkok at night. We flew in and stayed in country, and we would spend the nights at the hospitals and the days going out to the fire bases and visiting or the aircraft carriers or wherever and visiting the troops.
Oh,
and then
we'd
go to a hospital that night and serve mess and sleep there.
That is so cool.
It was quite an incredible trip. And I still, to this day, you know, because I do a one-woman show on the road and I'm all over the country, and every now and then there'll be a knock at the stage door and some young kid that's, you know, working as a theater will come back and say, there's some guy out here who says he met you in Vietnam.
Wow.
And I said, oh, God, bring him back, bring him back, bring him back. Because we got to do the before and after pictures, right?
So that's, oh, yeah, right. So that's the way to meet Vicki Lawrence, by the way. If you see her on the road, just say,
yeah.
We met in Vietnam. So you're doing all of this. You're on a Carol Burnett show. You're doing, and then you come out with The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, which is one of my favorite all-time songs. And that went out to be a monster hit. But, I mean, how out of the blue was that?
Well, I was married to the guy that wrote it for 10 minutes.
Oh.
And it was sort of the only good thing that came out of that dysfunctional marriage was that song.
That is so good. Vicki, it's such an honor to talk to you.
He wrote the song. He hated the song. He couldn't.
Really?
I did the demo. He couldn't get rid of the demo. Nobody wanted to do that song because they all said it would offend the South. And his producer was Snuff Garrett back in the day. And Snuffy said, let's just go in the studio and do it with Vicky. So that's how that happened.
Wow.
And that was the ultimate demise of an already doomed marriage. So there you have it.
But you got something out of it. Carol Burnett.
I did get a gold record,
yeah.
And I got the dog.
Ninety years of laughter, love this Wednesday. Vicki, thank you so much for the great entertainment over the years.
Thank you. It was great to talk with you.
Fantastic. We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
On his way home from Candletop, been 2 weeks gone, and he thought he'd stop at Webb's and have him a drink before he went home to her. Andy Wolo said hello, and he said, hi, what's doing, whoa? Said, sit down, I've got some bad news, it's gonna hurt. Said, I'm your best friend, and you know that's right, but your young bride ain't home tonight. Since you've been gone, she's been seeing that Amos boy, Seth. Well, he got mad and he saw red, and Andy said, boy, don't you lose your head, 'cause to tell you the truth, I've been with her myself. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they hung an innocent man. Well, don't trust your soul in old backwoods southern lawyer, 'cause the judge in the town's got bloodstains on his hands. Well, Andy got scared and left the bar, walking on home 'cause he didn't live far. See, Andy didn't have many friends and he just lost him one. Brother thought his wife must have left town, so he went home and finally found the only thing Papa had left him, and that was a gun. Then he went off to Andy's house, but slipping through the backwoods quiet as a mouse, came upon some tracks too small for Andy to make. He looked through the screen at the back porch door, and he saw Andy lying on the floor in a puddle of blood. And he started to shake. Well, the Georgia patrol was making their round, so he fired a shot just to flag them down. And a big-bellied sheriff grabbed his gun and said, why'd you do it? And the judge said guilty in a make-believe trial, slapped the sheriff on the back with a smile, said, supper's waiting at home and I gotta get to it. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they hung an innocent man. Well, don't trust your soul in old backwoods southern lawyer, 'cause the judge in the town's got bloodstains on his hands. Well, they hung my brother before I could say the tracks he saw while on his way to Andy's house, and back that night were mine. His cheating wife had never left town, and that's one body that'll never be found. See, little sister don't miss when she aims her gun. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. Oh, oh, oh. That's the night that they hung an innocent man. Oh, oh. Well, don't trust your soul and all backwoods southern lawyers.